You guys excited for the convention?
Yeah.
It's going to be good fun.
I can't wait a second. I've been wanting to come to this end of the world for my whole life, so it's great.
So you've never been here before?
Never been here before, so it was great to come down and, meet awesome fans from Australia, but also see this beautiful country and this city.
Are you at Auckland as well, or just Melbourne?
Auckland, yeah, we're going to Auckland as well. That was great because it was like coming all this way, it's great. We get to get to see both and get a little time to be tourists and goof around in between. So,
oh, excellent. Yeah. Oh, great. Oh, so glad you've made it down here as well because, turtles, my life.
So. Yeah, it was really, I was trying to get down here last year and it was a crazy nightmare of unfortunate events, but I'm so glad I could make the trip down this year. So.
Well, this is what one of the things on Mark's bucket list in life is to meet you. So
oh,
he's pretty
that's
happy.
Awesome. Pleasure.
Yes.
Cheers.
We'll talk in the interview, but it was one of my early influences for drawing myself. So yeah, and of course Mikey, my favorite.
Yep.
So,
yeah. Well, Mike, first thank you, and two that Michelangelo was always been one of my favorites. Although you can never pick a child that you love more than the others, but Michelangelo was the first turtle ever drawn.
Oh, really?
It was, yeah. The first, it was the very first drawing. It was like
yes, it was nunchucks.
Yeah,
yes, it
nunchucks.
Was.
He had the mask on and nunchucks wrapped for his arm. So I always say that that's the first turtle drawn. So he's always been. I've always been partial to him too. So.
See.
Thank you. Cheers. Awesome.
Cool. Let's dive into it.
Okay. Hey guys, it's Mike here from Watcher and Dean, and we are here. Sorry, I'm talking
That's all right.
over you.
It's fine.
I'm slightly excited.
I know.
And we are here with Mr. Kevin Eastman.
Thank you, guys. Nice meeting you both. I'm just thrilled to be here. Thanks.
We were just speaking prior to this. It's your first time down to Australia?
Yes. Very excited.
So hopefully you'll enjoy what Melbourne has to offer.
The weather's nice today, at least.
Yes.
It looks like we're going to have a good weekend, but you'll be inside probably for most of it.
For most of it,
yes. At Armageddon, so.
But we get a couple of days after the show to tour around this beautiful city. And I'm sure we'd love to stay for a couple of weeks, but... three wiener dogs, an 8-year-old, and 2 cats waiting for us at home.
There's only so
much we can get away with, yeah.
And what I've been recommending to most people so far is try out the food trucks that we have here because they are awesome.
Awesome.
So, yeah, if you see them, definitely try one out. You got burgers, you got pizzas, you got everything.
Awesome.
But let's jump into turtles now.
30, yeah, get off burgers. Let's jump into turtles.
30 years, could you have imagined that it would have gone this far?
Man, not in especially in those days, not in my wildest dreams. I mean, we were so positive we wouldn't sell one single copy of the first issue. I mean, when we actually got the books back from the printer back in 1984, we actually made furniture out of them in our studio. We made a coffee table and some end tables and stuff. And the fact that I think that but the first book sold, and we were blown away. And then. I always like to say that when we put out the second issue of the Turtles, the first book we printed 3,000 copies. When we put out the second issue, which orders were for 15,000 copies, and to me that's really when the dream came true because Pete figured out that we could pay our rent and eat as much macaroni and cheese as we want and literally draw comic books for a living. So by early 1985 when issue 2 came out, we were drawing comic books full time, and it was like that was it. That was just
on issue 2.
On issue 2.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
It's all you crazy fans. It's like, thank you. Give me the best job ever,
Oh, so. And I mean all the different incarnations there have been of the Turtles as well. I mean, you've had the cartoon series. I mean, there's so many different cartoon series now. All the films. I mean,
they certainly have a very different life to what I was going to say, not what you created, but it's just so expansive. What's it like when you have a property like that you've created and you put your work into and it grows in that kind of way and shoots in different directions?
Well, that was, what was so fascinating, again, if you put into context, we never thought the first issue would sell, and the fact that we then were now drawing comic books for a living, and every issue the sales are going up, and that's when, we're getting a lot of inquiries from Hollywood, and they were, we think this could work as an animated show. We think this could work as a toy line. And we just were, kind of scratch our head and like, oh, really? I don't know. It's amazing it still worked as a comic book. But what was interesting, when we started work on the original animated series and the original toy line, we knew very specifically we were writing for a much younger audience. With all the original Turtle books, we wrote them for ourselves. So it's like, you know, they were edgier and a bit darker and all that kind of stuff. And so when we were writing them down for a specific, you know, a 6-year-old or 7-year-old, but we had full approval over everything that was done with them. So we were able to, you know, like it was Pete's idea to come up with the different colored bandanas, and we softened the origin story, but we made it more playful and more silly and put a lot more humor into it. But even through that process, I don't think we didn't really think it would work. I mean, you think, you know, really, the kind of kid's going to want, I don't know. And the fact that it did.
And now it's something everyone keeps trying to copy. And
it's crazy. And, you know, in fact, that's what's been so awesome about this year as the 30th anniversary is it's great that young, you know, people that grew up on the Turtles, the original cartoon show, you know, they're now, you know, in their late 20s, early, exactly.
I'm wearing the T-shirt for people that can't hear it. Yeah. I'm wearing the Turtle T-shirt from the cartoon.
I love it.
But, I didn't even plan that.
Kismet. You know, they're now late 20s, early 30s, and they have kids of their own, and now they're it's become generational now. And the fact that it worked the first time was amazing, mind-blowing, humbling, is such a huge honor. And then the fact that it's now 30 years later, it's still finding audiences. You know, kids are finding it on their own. But
especially the new series at the moment, kids and adults. Mm. It's definitely not just a kids show. It's not just what we used to watch at 4:30 in the afternoon.
Yep. Yep.
You know, it's great that it has that kind of a range and it still has that kind of a line.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, much like, you know, what Nickelodeon wanted to do with the series, and I loved it, was Cyril Neely's one of the main executive producers, main creative directors, and he said, I want to write something that I would want to watch. I want to keep, you know, stories intelligent, you know, get a little, you know, but still keep the humor. They spend a lot of time researching martial arts and make sure that, you know, they, you know, martial arts instructors coming in and showing them moves. And they just, you know, I don't know, it's just, it's more an all audiences show as opposed to just to a kid's show.
Yeah.
And I love it. So.
Well, Turtles Forever, I loved that when it came out.
It was so cool.
When you went to like Turtle, like the World Prime, and you had the original black and white, I'm just like, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that the animated Turtles from the 80s were just comic relief. Everyone was going, what is it with these guys?
It's like, so fun. Man, it was Lou Goldfein who was running he and Pete ran the original, what they call it, the 2000 series, the Fox Kids series. And that we're getting towards the end of that run, and he came to me with the idea and just said, this is what we want to do, is, you know, Turtles Forever, and we're going to have all different versions of the Turtles, you know, meet each other. Then there's going to be a little cameo, like Pete and I did that little thing at the end.
Yeah, that was great.
And I said, dude, this is either going to be just the worst mistake you're going to ever make, or it's going to be just absolutely brilliant. And I, you know, when they showed me the finished stuff they put together, I said, this is fantastic. It's one of my favorite, you know, all-time Turtle movies.
Mm. Oh yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, thanks.
I was yawning. Sorry.
I should be yawning. I flew all
I'm
day.
Sorry.
No.
It's not you.
No.
I've been up since 6 o'clock. I'm like.
I know. Yeah. Some shit. You know. And you're gonna be doing the same all weekend, right? I mean, you're gonna be running around the show and doing stuff.
So. Sunday is when everyone gets to collapse a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it always takes. I've done so many shows, and to me, it was always like, you know, you work intensely Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then it was like usually by Tuesday I would just be wiped out because it takes a day to catch up to you, and then I'd be.
Has anyone ever come up to you in some really weird Turtles cosplay?
You know what? It's not weird. You know, it's always funny to see.
How do you do Turtles cosplay, really?
No, but these girls will make these skimpy little turtle outfits and, you know, short skirts.
They could be worse things.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, but I just, you just never. That's one of those things where you look and go, like, I never imagined that, you know. 30 years later, you'd have these, you know, young, you know, cute, you know, cosplay girls running around in turtle outfits. It just, you know, that wasn't even on the list. It wasn't on the radar. You know, I just never imagined it. So, but I love the cosplay, and half of them, you know, they make it from scratch.
Oh, something's going on.
You hear some sound?
Checking out the sound system. We'll all be dancing up here later. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is this place?
Bobby McGee's, cool. Remember?
Oh my God, it is true. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
What I was going to ask is, are you and Peter thinking of doing any kind of collaboration in the future at all?
Well, we had some, you know, we have talked about it. It was just so great about this year's. We did our first signing together, and I don't know how many years. We did a 30th anniversary signing at this little comic store on Free Comic Book Day in New Hampshire, Rochester, New Hampshire. And it was actually the store is owned by the guy that we premiered the first issue at 30 years before at this tiny little comic book convention in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And then we worked on a couple of covers for the 30th anniversary issue. And so, you know, we hadn't really, my goodness, I don't think we've worked on drawings, collaborated on drawings together, you know, me penciling and him inking or vice versa. And in 20 years, we just really enjoyed it, and so we trade emails pretty regularly anyway. We would love to come up with something else.
I've got to say, reading all the old comics and the way you guys worked together was just unbelievable, because in used to the stories where you had the individual artwork and you can see the differences there, but then when it kind of came together, it just worked so well. It was just
fantastic.
And yeah, like I said, I mean, I fell in love from the first issue, and that was it.
You know,
it was
you.
Just like.
Yeah, that was actually, you know, it was funny because that was, you know, we, you know, growing up reading comic books, you know, there was always like a writer, then there was a different penciler, and a different inker, and a colorist, and, but, you know, both Peter and I were artists, and we wrote into our own stories, so it was like, you know, I had a slightly different style, and he did, and he could draw so many things so much better than I could. So that was, we made a very conscious decision. We said, look, we'll co-write the stories together, I'll do the basic breakdowns. But every page, we're going to swap it back and forth, so there's half of each of us, and so on each page, so we'd be literally passing the pages back and forth in the studio to get a nice blend in the styles, and it was so cool. I mean, that's some of my favorite stuff because it was so exciting. You start feeding off that other creative energy, each other, and you know, and it somehow it worked. But we had a blast doing it. So
great,
thanks.
All right, so we have to finish up, but we'll be continuing this conversation very shortly on 42 Geek Street, which I'm also part of.
Awesome.
So,
you'll have to kind of redo the conversation again.
Oh, please.
I've got plenty of other questions to ask.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Awesome.
Well, thanks very much for talking to us, Kevin.
Awesome.
And
enjoy your weekend at Armageddon.
Yeah, really excited, so thanks. Pleasure meeting you.
Yep. You too.
Cheers.
Fantastic.
Cheers. Great.
Cheers.
You too. Guys. Awesome.
So, Mike, we've just met Kevin Eastman. Your idol?
Yes.
What was it like?
Freaking awesome. He was the nicest dude, and I'm going to start talking like a turtle.
That'll be good for the Geek Street interview, though.
Yeah. Look, totally down to earth. Just, you know, he has got as much love for these characters as anyone could, if you're a fan or anything. And, just great to talk to him. I could talk to him for hours. I really could.
Well, you've got another 15 minutes.
Yeah, I'll take it.
No one better.
Watch out for Shredder.